Well, we're in the midst of talking about our spiritual journey. We're in this series of called Crossing Your Jordan, Possessing Your Destiny. And what we have looked at over the last number of weeks is that Israel leaving Egypt, going over the Red Sea, through the wilderness, crossing the Jordan into their promised land, is a type and analogy of our spiritual journey. This is so clearly laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It even draws the analogies out in that chapter of what certain aspects are. So we looked in a couple of weeks. We went through 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We drew out the analogies that it said there, that with most of them, God wasn't well pleased because they died in the wilderness. They never got to their promised land. And so we were challenged as we talked about this. Is it possible that as Christians, we're saved, we're out of Egypt, but we haven't experienced all that God has for us? We've never crossed our Jordan. We haven't crossed into our destiny. You see, it was in Canaan that God wanted to establish a nation, where he wanted Israel to be a light to the world. In the wilderness, they were out of Egypt, but they were still just a people wandering, and they were not expressing what God wanted. And most of those people didn't cross their Jordan. So we've been talking about the necessity of crossing our Jordan, going to the other side. So we talked about that from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then last week, we moved to Joshua chapter 1. And I mentioned to you last week, as we read the narrative in the Old Testament, in Joshua 1, 2, and 3, we actually read the story of how after 40 years, the children of Israel actually cross their Jordan. They begin to possess their destiny, what God wanted them to be. And we actually have the story laid out here for us, which we see as an analogy of our own life. I saw as I read through those three chapters, I just jotted down truths that just stood out to me as I read those chapters. And I saw 15 applications to our life, we who are on our spiritual journey, coming out of the world and coming through a wilderness and actually possessing what God has for us. And we shared the first one last week in Joshua 1, 2, where it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. We saw that Moses represented the past. And here was the first point from last week. Die to your past and move into your future. And we saw that we have to die to what has happened in our past if we're going to move into our future. Many things from our past hold us back and hinder us. And you have to not define your future by your past, but you have to believe that God has a destiny and a future for you that you haven't entered into. And so you have to die to your past, move into your future. If you missed that message, I really encourage you to go and on that card, there's a place where you can request the messages. Not everyone needs that message as much as others. But some of you do. Some of you that you know, my past cripples me. I feel like I can't be what God wants me to be because of my past. You definitely need to hear last week's message. Now this week, we're going to go on, and I'm going to share the second point. And it comes from Joshua 1 and the very next verse, verse 3, where it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given you. The Lord said, here's the parameters of the land I want to take you into. We mentioned them last week. He said, here's the land. And now he tells them, wherever you put your foot down, I'm going to give it to you. You need to possess where you put your foot down. So here's your fill-in for point number two. That is applicable to us. Your initiative determines your possession. Your initiative determines your possession. God has provided a great potential for us. Just as he did for the children of Israel. He said, here's the borders from Lebanon over to the river Euphrates, across to the Mediterranean Sea. He said, this is the land. And he tells them, now you go over and possess it. And wherever you put the sole of your foot, I'm going to give it to you. See, they were to determine how much they possessed. When they crossed over, they could have said, well, let's go 5 miles in this direction. And as they walked, the Lord said, every place you put the sole of your foot, I'm going to give it to you. They could have turned and gone 10 miles north or 50, 60 miles north. Wherever they put the sole of their foot, the promise of the Lord was, I'll give it to you. Now, interesting, when you look at the history of Israel now over 2,000 years since even Jesus, we find that they never actually possessed all the land that God gave them to. Places they came close in their history, but they never possessed it all. But the Lord had said to them, wherever you put the sole of your foot, I'll give it to you. But they never actually initiated and took as much land as they were offered by God. Now, this speaks to us as a people. Because, see, we're not just talking about the history of Israel here. It's an analogy. The Bible says it's an analogy. This is written for our admonition and for our example. You are on a spiritual journey. God wants to take you out of Egypt, take you across the Red Sea, which is a type of our water baptism, and he wants us to go over and possess our destiny. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. There's a reason you're on the earth. God has you in mind. He has plans for you, thoughts for you. You have a destiny. It's to build his kingdom. It's to establish his nation, to be bright lights in this world. Now, how do we do that? There is a point where you have to cross over your Jordan. And once you cross over, how much you possess of that is going to be your initiative. Now, I want you to see a chart that I put together when I was thinking about the two water crossings, the Red Sea, the Jordan. And just see the contrast between these two water crossings. Last week, we talked about the first one. The Red Sea, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, is a type of our water baptism. That's where you take Christ's death as our death. You see, we're all under the judgment of death because of our sin. But Christ made a way for us. He took our sins, died on the cross. And at that water baptism where you recognize, you know what, I need to die but because of my sin. But thank the Lord, Jesus died for my sins on the cross. So I take his death as my death. So we bury our old life in the water. We come out to live a new life in the Lord. That's what water baptism is. Water baptism is taking Christ's death as our death. And then we shared last week, what's the Jordan? What's the other water that we cross? It is consecration. It's where you dedicate yourself to the Lord, to his purposes. It's where you get out of the wilderness of just wandering around as a Christian, no purpose, not really doing anything, not really establishing anything, always sort of asking the Lord, give us food, give me this. It's always me prayers, usually in the wilderness, because we have needs. But we got to get out of the wilderness. We got to cross over the Jordan and take Christ's life as our life. And that's your fill-in. If you haven't noticed, there's a fill-in in your bulletin. Follow along with us. That's where you take Christ's life as our life. And that's what we're talking about here. We need to please God. He's got a purpose for us. He wants us to live our life for his benefit, for what his plans are. Use my gifts and my talent, not for selfish ambition, but to build his kingdom. Wow, when you cross over that line, life becomes exciting. Life now counts for eternity. And that's the plan that God has for every person here. Till we do that, he's not really well pleased with us. We're Christians, but boy, he's got so much more for us. So he wants us to cross over. Now, I want you to see this next step, though, in the next part on the chart. When they crossed the Red Sea, God took the initiative. The sea opened, then the people crossed. If you read the story, they came to the Red Sea. God told Moses, take your rod, stretch it across the Red Sea. The waters split, and then the invitation was for you to cross over. And they crossed over with the water being split to the other side, which is, again, a type of our water baptism. God took the initiative. Well, we didn't even know anything about God. Well, we were still in our sin. Christ died for us, made a way for us, opened a door, as it were, to say, you can come to me. You can have salvation. And so God took the initiative. The door's open. He just says, you come, cross over, and be a Christian. But at the Jordan, we see that Joshua took the initiative. The people had to start to cross, then the sea opened. Now that would be something, wouldn't it? God told Joshua, he said, tell the priest to pick up the Ark of the Covenant. And he says, I want you to come to the water. And it says that the water was overflowing its banks at that time. It was not the optimum time to cross the Jordan. And so it says that when they came to the water, it was still flowing. And it says that as the priest's feet dipped into the waters of the Jordan, then the waters split. You see the difference? In the first crossing, God opened the waters and then invited them to come. In the second crossing, the people had to take an initiative. They had to step out in faith. They had to step out believing. And so it is when you cross into your destiny. God's not going to make you do something. He just calls us and tells us, pick up the ark. In other words, don't live for yourself. Pick up his cause. Pick up his purposes. Pick up his presence. Move now into your destiny. Become what God wants you to be. Be the influence that God wants you to be. Once you cross the Jordan, you have an eternal influence. And so that's the call to us. But you have to take an initiative. It's likened here where it says, once you get there, every place you put the sole of your feet, I'm going to give it to you. Wow. I wonder how much land God's given you. I wonder how much potential is before you. What's the boundaries of the place that God wants you to inhabit? I'll tell you this, it's bigger than you think. It's more than what you've experienced to this point. And he calls us. Take initiatives. Take steps. As you step out, you're uncertain. You wonder, can I do it? But as they stepped in the water split. As they stepped on the land, the Lord said, wherever you go, wherever you put your feet, I'm going to give it to you. And so it is in our spiritual walk. God's got thoughts about you that would amaze you what he wants to do. Now, there's some simple truths around this. And let me just share some of them with you. If you never step forward, you'll always be in the same place. If you never step forward, you'll always be in the same place. And you can't walk with God and stay in the same place because God is moving. And if you're going to walk with God, you have to change locations. Now, I don't know why, but thoughts come to my mind of this is Father's Day, and my father, and he was a farmer, and he went to bed early, but our home was always, we always had company at our home. There was, you know, the kids were there, we had friends over, they had lots of friends that would come over, but it would come a place in the night when it was time, you know, for Dad to go to bed, and he had some sayings that he would use as people were there, and one of them he'd say, "May, let's go to bed so these folks can go home." And I remember him saying, "Now, folks, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here." Now it was time for our friends, my friends, it was time to go. It was getting cold. See, you know, that comes to my mind around this thought. If you're going to move and be in a different place, you got to move. You got to step out. You can't stay where you are. Now, God doesn't tell us where to go, but he says, I want you to keep moving. You know, don't stay where you're at. Put your foot out and take an initiative because God has something for you to possess. Someone said, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you sit there. So many times we are on the right track. We haven't necessarily done anything wrong, but now we have just slowed down a little bit. And like you wouldn't stop your car in the highway, and even though you're on the right track, there's trains coming through, you need to keep moving. And so it is in our spiritual walk. Are you moving forward? Zig Ziglar, with a famous inspirational speaker, said this, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. That is so, so true. You have to start. You have to step out. Now, many times, contrary to what we think inspiration will produce action. We wait till we're inspired. And we say, well, you know, I don't want to just do anything on my own. I want God to inspire me. But here's the thing. Inspiration does not produce action. Inspiration produces good intentions. It produces ideas. It produces possibilities. When you're inspired, you see something you haven't seen before. But we all know what the road to hell is paved with, don't we? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so we have to be careful that we are not sitting back and say, well, when I'm inspired, I'll do something. Because actions are not produced by inspiration. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision to start, to be active, to do something. That's what inspiration. And action produces more inspiration. The more you act on something, an idea, then it produces fresh and new inspiration, but then it requires additional steps. You see it step by step by step, and if you stop stepping, you stop. Now, this applies to everything in our life. Natural endeavors, business endeavors, pursuing a relationship. I mean, there's many, many natural applications of this that are true. But what I'm trying to share with us is the spiritual application. This is the most important. God wants us to continue our spiritual journey. He wants us to move forward into our full destiny. Don't stop. Keep moving. And every step forward is a fresh start. Every step is a fresh start. I've stepped, but my foot stopped. Well, the other one went forward. Now I got to start it again. Every step is a fresh start. We don't see it spiritually. We sort of enjoy what's happened. We sort of feel that's good. But if we're not careful, we slow down and we stop, and we then get in this state of we're just existing, but we're not really living. We're Christians, but we're not experiencing all that God has for us. It's the wilderness experience. And God says, I want you to get out of that wilderness, get into your destiny where you're pursuing it with all your heart. All achievement comes from daring to begin. You have to dare to begin. My dad was always so good at this, and I still hear him. It's good this is Father's Day. This message really is applicable to fathers in many, many ways. My dad would say, starting is the job half done. If you get started, the job is half done. You know what? Over all these years, I've found how true that is. You know it. You put things off just like I have. It's a big job. Oh, I'll do that. We put it off. And then finally we start. And then we're amazed how quickly we did it. And we think, well, why didn't I do that before? Well, I kept putting it off. I kept procrastinating. Starting is half the job. This whole aspect of I need to take an initiative is half the job. You get it half done just by starting. I've told my dad all kinds of things why I can't do things. But he would always come back with this, Kenny, be a man, be a man, be a man. And that's really what the scripture tells us, doesn't it? It tells us that, let me read it to you here. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, out of the King James Version, says this. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Quit you like men. Now that's an old English phrase, quit you like men. The meaning of quit in an old English is conduct yourself. In other words, when it says, quit you like men, it means conduct yourself like men. And as fathers, God wants us to be the spiritual leaders. In a home, the father is to be the spiritual leader. He's to take the initiatives for the family. Prayerfully praying for God, cultivating the relationship with the family, and actually encouraging the family to move forward into all that God has for them. Now, obviously, there's an individual aspect of this, but there's an aspect as fathers that we lead our families. I'm so glad that my dad led us spiritually. He was a tremendous initiator as far as work goes. He was an entrepreneur and did so many different things as I look back at what he did in his lifetime. But the greatest legacy he left us was his spiritual heritage of taking steps spiritually. He led us spiritually. I thank you for all the natural heritage I had from my father and mother. But the spiritual heritage overshadows everything from the natural. And so we can give excuses why we don't do things, but we need to quit ourselves like men, conduct ourselves like men. You have to take a venture. I was reading about Václav Havel, who was the first president of Czechoslovakia after communism. He was a champion of democracy and fought for democracy in that country and saw the fall of communism. And as, from what I can read, very revered. I remember his name back in those years, the first early 90s, when he was having influence. But I read this quote from him, and I thought, man, that really applies to what we're talking about here. He said, "Vision is not enough. It must be combined with venture." Vision is not enough. It must be combined with venture. You see, for them to overthrow communism, for them to change the whole structure of their nation, that was a great vision. But he realized without venture, it's not going to come about. And the same with our spiritual vision, what God has shown you, it won't come about without venture. But we don't want to venture out. And listen to these couple of verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 22:13 says, "A lazy man says, 'There's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street. I'll be slain.'" So he doesn't want to go out. He doesn't want to do something. He makes the excuse, "There's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street." And then it says in Proverbs 24 that the sluggard will not plow for reason of the cold. Now, I grew up on a farm, and there was lots of times I would tell my dad, "I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that," because, and I'd tell him why, and then he would say, "You know this thing, be a man, Kenny, be a man. You can overcome that." See, a lot of people don't plow. I'd like to plow. I know it needs to be plowed, but it's a little cold today. It'll be warmer tomorrow. Conditions will be better tomorrow. So I'll plow tomorrow. You know what the rest of that verse says? Sluggard will not plow for reasons of the cold, and he will beg and harvest and have nothing. I think a lot of us, we're not having the harvest we want in our spiritual life. We're asking for God for things, and it doesn't seem he hears our prayer. But have we taken the initiative? Have we stepped out? Or are we always making excuses? "Well, there's a lion in the street. I could get hurt." Yeah, I suppose there were lions in the street, but how many actual lions were in the street? Well, it's an excuse. I'd plow, but it's too cold today to plow. Ask yourself, what reasons am I bringing up why I don't step out and do the things that God wants me to do? What are my reasons? We get snagged on things. We get snagged on hang-ups and knots. You know, you get snagged on a knot. We get snagged on the knots in our mind, knots in our thinking. I came across the knots prayer. Let me read the knots prayer to you. "Dear God, please untie the knots that are in my mind, my heart, and my life. Remove the have knots and the can knots that I have in my mind. Erase the may knots, might knots, and will knots that find a home in my heart. Release me from the could knots, the would knots, and the should knots that obstruct my progress. And most of all, Lord, remove from my mind, my heart, and my life all of the am knots that I have allowed to hold me back, especially the thought that I'm not good enough." The M knot of "I'm not good enough" has snagged so many people. They say, "Oh, I know God's got a plan for my life, but you know what? I've messed up. God's disappointed in me. He has a plan for me, but because of what I've done, I'm not good enough. So I know he wants. It's too bad. I messed up. But I disqualified myself. Listen. Look at the people in the Bible that God used. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. You read the Bible, that's why Jacob didn't take her as his first choice. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a harlot. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. I don't know whether there's anybody here that might be disqualifying you, but John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus? He was dead. And yet God used each and every one of these people. Don't let the knots in your mind keep you from stepping out. Realize you're not defined by your past. God has a new name for you. He has a future for you. This was our message last week. Move into your future. Don't let your past hold you back. God can do anything. You're not who you think you are. You're not what other people say you are. But you are what God says you are. And boy, he thinks highly of you. He sees your potential. He sees what you can accomplish. And he says, step out. Your initiative determines your possession. So, we're only halfway through this message. We're going to do the rest next week. I thought we'd get further. We have 15 points. Don't despair. I think we probably can, it won't take 15 weeks to go through them. But you know, even if it does, it doesn't matter. Because it's not preaching messages, is it? It's not learning truths in our head. It's applying it to our life. And maybe God just wants us to focus on this one fact alone. Your initiative determines your possession. I think some of you are stuck. You have an image of yourself, and it keeps you from moving in. You've allowed things to hold you back. You've come to your next step, and you've balked. You've hesitated. You've held back. And God wants you to step out. He wants you to take your next step. The application of this message, and you've heard me say it many times, you need to take your next step. It's different for each one of us. My next step is not your next step. What God has for the person sitting beside you is not where you're at. We're all at different places in our journey. But God has a next step for you. Don't stop. It's surprising how far you can go step after step after step. It's amazing the progress that you can make. I'm wondering, especially for fathers in this place, is your family stuck because you failed to take the initiative as the father and spiritual leader in the home? You haven't said, we're going to read the Bible today. We're going to be in church. We're going to go, and I'm just pulling this out of there. We're going to go on Wednesday night. Whatever the next step is, whatever is your dedicating your life to God's purposes, that you take your next step. Your initiative will determine your possession. Can we stand together this morning? Maybe we can sing that song, the first one, I Will Follow. I want to pray with us. And I wonder if I could pray especially for fathers just first here. We already prayed, but I feel this message is really appropriate to fathers, because you are the spiritual head of your home, and you need to take the initiative in your family. You need to be the one that sets the example. I look back at my life, and I don't want to get into it because I can get too emotional. My father didn't just teach me things. I saw it in his life. He didn't just tell me things to do. He walked it out, and I wanted to be like him. That's the position of fathers in the home. And you can have right now in all the minds where you failed, why that wouldn't work for you, and just say, Lord, I'm going to pray the knot prayer. Get all those knots out of my mind. All the kin knots I'm going to get out of my mind. And I'm just going to take my next step. I know I think there's water flowing here, and I don't see how I can get across, but I'm going to step into it by faith. There's so much more for us than what we can imagine here. Wow, I wonder where God would take us as a church if everybody in the church took our next step. Can I pray for us again? Father, I pray first for fathers that are standing here. I pray, Lord, that they would take up this challenge this morning and be the spiritual heads of their home, spiritual leaders. I pray for fathers that are going astray and they're not where they should be. Lord, would you pull them back on the path? I pray for fathers that are not here today, but they are in our life in some way. I ask, Lord, that they would take their next step. I pray that we would take our responsibility here this morning. We'd be all that you want us to be. May we move forward in the things of you, I ask. Now I want to pray for us as individuals. There may be some here, and you've really never committed your life to the Lord. This is sort of new to you. But you feel something in your heart. You know the reality because, see, God's Spirit deals with our spirit. If you're here this morning, you've never committed your life to the Lord, that's your next step. Your next step is just a prayer of surrender, saying, Lord, I give myself to you. I don't understand all about this, but I want you in my life. I want all that you have for me. Then your next step is water baptism. It just steps one after the other into the things of the Lord. But you have to take your next step. Others of you, you know what it is. Lord, I ask right now, whatever that next step is for every person here, that right now we determine we're going to step out into it. We're going to take the initiative. We're going to go forward in the name of Jesus. Let it be so. Amen and amen.